Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Pay As You Gym is the new flexible way to access over 300 gyms in the UK with no commitment and no sign-up fees. We're offering you, listeners of the Football Ramble, a free pass worth up to £15 to access a gym near you. Just go to payasyougym.com/football ramble. Pay As You Gym is simple and easy to use. You only pay when you go. And as an extra benefit for you, you can take a friend along with you for your first visit, absolutely free. Go to payasyougym.com/football ramble.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Lovely to have you back, my darlings. My name's Marcus, and I've got my three besties with me. Jim.
Hello.
Pete.
Waka Chaka Chum.
And Luke.
All right.
Right then, the season is just about finished, so I want to ask you, who is your man of the season, Jim?
It's an obvious one for me, but I'm going to have to go with Robin van Persie, because he's just been an absolute superhero this season. You know, the goals against Liverpool and Everton stand out has been particularly good, and I think what's especially impressive about van Persie is he's been the standout player in the Premier League in a team that's not challenged at all. I mean, could you imagine the state of Arsenal season without him?
Would be third.
Single-handedly just taking them into the Champions League.
I'm having quite a good time imagining that, actually.
They'd have finished 23rd.
Yeah.
But probably not.
Because weirdly, they'd have been in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true. Van Persie, eh?
Yeah.
It's a good job. I mean, he's been excellent this season. It's been great to watch.
It would feel churlish of me to not pick Van Persie.
Yes, because you're a big Arsenal fan.
Mm.
Pete.
I am torn between Vincent Kompany or Vincent Kompany. Or whatever the commentators call him.
Vincent Kompany.
Try and be clever.
Yeah.
They go, Kompany.
Yes.
Mario Balotelli. You know, Balotelli's brought in the. He hasn't performed quite up to spec, but he's still very, very young. I'd like him to retain his place in the Premier League side, and he's very exciting and fun to watch.
I think he's been decent when he's been called on. He's got quite a few goals.
But I did say man of the season. I didn't say player.
That's true, yeah.
He's brought a lot of entertainment on and off the pitch.
I mean, you could argue Tevez has been probably one of the biggest.
He was absent for a bit. Yeah. So, Balotelli or Kompany?
I'm going to go for Kompany.
Okay.
He is also a nice man as well.
For reasons we talked about last week, of course. Yeah.
Locals.
I'll give you a clue.
Yes.
Unbelievable!
Chris Kamara?
Gary Neville.
Okay.
Big Gino.
Good.
Better.
What you've done there, you've thought outside the box, the other two.
Well, I just thought that he started this season. A lot of people were unsure about him. He got a little bit derided before he even started as a broadcaster. I think he's not only turned everyone around, universally loved now, he's capped off a great season of broadcasting, in my view, with a little slot on the England coach.
And now he's on the plane.
Yeah.
Pundited his way into the England side, which is the first.
Yeah, that is the first time anyone has pundited themselves into international setup.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
You put it like that.
It's great.
It's a bit of G-Nev.
Keep him with the media theme. Jeff Shreves.
You've got to do a proper one.
No, okay. Drogba's been marvellous, and we'll come on to him. But I'm going to go for big Harve Renard.
It's a good shout.
The Copper Bullets manager who won the African Cup of Nations. And probably my favourite moment of the season was at the end of the game when they won amazingly against Ivory Coast. He picked up the player, exactly, Pete, who was injured.
Stricken.
Carried him over to the celebrations.
I will be your hero, baby. Yeah.
The tight white shirts, the jeans, everything.
Richard Marx-esque.
Oh.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Carver and Ard, come on.
Done it in style. Give yourself the points.
You've earned them.
Thanks, I will.
Yeah. I'll get those points out of my sight.
Marvellous stuff. Right, we can only start with the Champions League final. because the Blues won. The Chelsea Blues bloody won.
They did, didn't they? All the fun.
Yeah. Talk about a team who don't know they're beaten. There was so much thrown against them.
Yeah.
And even when it went down to penalties, you thought, oh, Germans. In their own... Yeah. And still,
what was Schweinsteiger doing?
Oh my God. There was, for 82 minutes, it was a dead rubber. It was Chelsea said, we know you're going to attack. And Bayern
said, we're going to start with two left backs.
But they had so many chances in the first 20 minutes. And they fluffed some stinking chances they could have put away quite easily.
They've had a proper Mr. Bean style end to the season. Where we're getting stuffed by Dortmund in the cup final as well, and obviously losing out in the league to them.
Didn't Leverkusen master that a number of years ago? They were in for three trophies and they lost all of them.
But I think it. Bayern in 99 were on for the treble as well, I think, and they won two out of three.
Okay. It was like a film script. It's basically like, Chelsea, you're going to have a go at the Champions League, you're going to get the hardest team in the world in the semi.
Yeah.
In the final, we're going to do it so you're away from home, they're going to have it in their own stadium, and you're going to have half your best players out. Get on that.
To be fair, though, I mean, Bayern had three players missing as well.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
And it's a shame, you know, that obviously seven players missing from the final. And you know,
true, but Bayern had their front three who have been so good for them.
But when you see a bit like Frank up front doing trying to execute a weird sort of scissor volley and just fluffing it massively, what is going on here?
Bayern had so many chances.
But I mean, Gomez has been great this season. I think he's got 26, something like that, in the league. And that's where the goals are shared around. You know, I mean, Robin and Ribery chip in with a lot of goals as well. So he's done well to get 26 of those two in the league alone. A couple of times, and he did this right at the end of the second leg against Real Madrid, where he had the goal at his mercy. Just take a good touch and you've won the game. And he missed control. And I think it was two or three times in the final.
Well, the one that he did score against Real Madrid, hit his standing foot and went in.
Yeah, but the two or three in the final, there was a couple in the first half where just a better touch and you're away.
Mm. I don't think he was the only one guilty, but I think Müller snatched an awful lot of chances as well. It seemed to be, it almost worked against them, the fact that they're at home amongst familiar surroundings. I mean, there was talk going into the game that Philipp Lahm was even getting the room he always gets in the hotel before each home game at Bayern Munich. You know, it's so familiar to them. And what happened was,
so much more pressure on them
in those
circumstances.
And not only that, Jim, with every chance they missed or snatched at, it just, the pressure just intensified. And when Müller scored that header, and I thought he was excellent, Müller.
Yeah.
When he scored that header, you thought, that's that now. And they thought, that's that
now. Well, do you know what? Shades of 99. Because I think it was it Mateus who came off in 99 and kind of punched his fist to the crowd? Yeah. And when Müller came off, now I thought, oh, that's it, the game's over. Because Chelsea hadn't even had a corner.
No.
Absolutely nothing. And Müller came off and he looked and he kind of, again, gave it the fist pump to the crowd as if to say, job done. And I remember thinking, I've seen this before, mate.
To be fair, though, he's seen it before. England won Germany 4.
No, they're different. It's not Champions League. But he came, and then Chelsea with their only corner of the game. I mean, it was, you know, up to 82 minutes, it was all Bayern pressure. A couple of Chelsea breakaways. But what do you think?
Well, I was just going to say before you moved on to that one thing I thought was interesting was that Bayern Munich didn't attack as much as I thought they would do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Barcelona really attacked.
Almost
left gaps. Well, it obviously left gaps at the end for Chelsea to counter. It was almost like Bayern didn't attack enough for Chelsea to counter. Yeah. They got the balance absolutely right.
Yeah.
And there was no space for Chelsea to run into.
Well, I thought, but the Bayern were very aware that Chelsea would break quickly. And as you say, they just, because Bayern perhaps, if they have a weakness, it would be the defence. Mm. And they were just a little bit wary of that, weren't they?
But they played the ball around like Barcelona in the final third, apart from the 6-yard box. So the final touch, they were so composed going into the box. And then it just felt a bit when somebody had to actually apply an ice cool finish.
The only slight difference between them and Barca is the fact that they're a lot wider, aren't they?
I think Barca missed more chances. Well, I think Barca, created more chances where it was just a touch or a final pass that let Bayern down.
But what about that one with Olic? Just cut it back across the goal.
Well, it was in extra time, yeah. I mean, why are the strikers not gambling on that?
It was late on, wasn't it?
Robin's penalty. Just, again, clearly the pressure completely got to him. Cech's done his homework, got it completely right. I mean, for Peter Cech to have such a cool head in that situation was so, so commendable.
His head's hot, if anything.
Yeah, exactly. Robin, he's got to be even cooler.
Didn't Robin take one in the cup final and score it? And he also took one.
I think he did, yeah.
He also
yeah.
took one against Real Madrid, didn't he, and scored it?
Mm. Yes.
So, I mean, he was obviously the person to take it. And I think that Timoshek and Boateng did well against Drogba.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that Chelsea didn't really offer much, and Drogba did look isolated, but they did pretty well. Yeah. Timoshek, that was his only third or fourth start set about this season against Drogba, who is, you know, who loves a final, didn't he, for Chelsea?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Wasn't he got 9 goals in 9 game finals for Chelsea?
Incredible, absolutely. Yeah. Monster.
Did you see Drogba just staring at Kalou's hair at the start of the match, going, what has he done?
What he didn't know about it.
There's a really lingering sort of what shot of him just going, what is that?
Do you see, after the game, the Munich subway system basically just collapsed and just completely stopped working, so none of the fans could get home.
That's un-German, really, like, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. They broke the whole city. Just a confusing result. And then a Chelsea fan climbed a statue, got stuck up there, and had to get some firemen to help him down. Oh. Just so undignified.
Did you
turn in the whole city into calamity?
Did you think that Ashley Cole was at fault for the goal? Because I thought he had an excellent game.
I did, actually. If you're going to pick faults, I think that he didn't. He looked like he didn't even realise that Muller came in. His body shape and the way he let the other attacking Bayern player, I forget, sort of bounce off him was, that's going out of play.
Yeah.
And suddenly it was like, what?
Did you not think he was in a weird position because he was half an eye on David Luiz?
Yeah, maybe.
Because I think David Luiz is a good player, and I think he was commendable in the final.
Him and Cahill.
Well, especially given that they've both been injured.
Cahill was excellent, actually.
Yeah.
I think that David Luiz had been injured for a while, and he said he felt a pop in his hamstring again after about 25 minutes, but he said there's no way he was going to turn anyone because he wanted to stay on.
Yeah.
And I think that there was a little bit of half an eye on that.
Okay.
But either way, he mistimed his jump, so he didn't get anywhere near the ball, presumably. Yeah.
But they weren't mental, didn't they, Bayern, when they scored? But what about Ryan Bertrand? Became the first player to make his Champions League debut in the final.
Yeah. I thought he acquitted himself well.
Yeah.
I think the reason they played, I think as Michael Cox pointed out, the reason they played him on the left is because Müller always drifts to the right.
Yeah.
And then Müller was
And
really
you've got
good.
Robin out there as well.
Absolutely. And Bertrand acquitted himself well.
He did.
It's almost like he was quite unnoticed, but at the same time, that probably shows he did quite a good job because Chelsea knew they'd be on the back foot.
Yeah. I don't think he's there to be noticed.
I think when you're playing that sort of game, it's fairly simple instruction, isn't it? And they executed the plan very, very well, very straightforwardly, I suppose. I mean, it seems crazy to say that, given that, you know, Bayern did fluff so many chances, but it felt for a long, long time like it was going to be a Chelsea win. They ground it out, you know, in that same way it felt like they beat Barcelona at Stamford Bridge. Or certainly did to me, at least.
I think it was more of a likely win than, say, Barcelona, if you know what I mean, because I think Barcelona was so one-sided, and Barcelona,
you know, but I mean, in terms of the setup,
yeah,
you know, it was exactly the same tactics. It was let's give them, you know, so much respect, we'll basically sacrifice our own sort of ambitions and try and nick it, and it's exactly what they did do.
Lampard's admitted they played for a 0-0, but I mean, it was interesting.
Red Star Belgrade-esque.
Yeah, yeah. But Riquelme was asked about it before the final, and he said he didn't like. He said there's no way that playing the way Chelsea play will win you trophies because you're automatically relying on luck.
Yeah.
Because obviously, as you said, Jim, you're not putting any of your own ambitions forward. You're not, and in a way, it's one of those things that we've talked about this before on the show. If you set yourself up in that way, if you concede, you're in real trouble because you've got no way of, it's very difficult to change it around.
And which, of course, they did.
And it was surprising they managed to get a goal.
Yeah.
Because their first corner of the
Drogba was defending most of the time.
Yeah.
He was in the 6 yard, 18 yard box.
I think it's just, it was an incredible tournament for Chelsea. You know, and people saying this anti-football kind of stuff. Well, it wasn't anti-football when they came back against Napoli.
No.
And then they beat Benfica twice.
Yeah.
You then against Barcelona, you can't blame a team for playing defensive and going through and getting lucky.
I mean, to be
Barcelona.
Fair, Peter Cech letting in the goal that he let in, it wasn't a sterling piece of goalkeeping from him. It could have quite easily just been caught. And you know,
yeah, the header sort of really confused him, didn't it? That's why you always header it down. Andy Carroll, take note.
Yeah, sorry. But I think that, you know, they've beaten Barcelona, they've gone through to the final, they are playing a better side in their own stadium. They think to themselves, well, we've defended and we'll try and hit them on the break.
You play to your strength.
I don't think Chelsea are a particularly defensive side. You know, I think this sort of anti-football thing is a little bit unfair. I can understand the disappointments from other teams, but
it shows the awareness of Di Matteo of the strengths that his squad has. And as you say, against Napoli, they could afford to go for it a bit more, and it paid off for them.
Well,
he made the judgment that, as you say, Bayern are a better team. They're gonna, if they open the game up too much, they'll get punished. Mm. And yeah, you know, as I say, he played to his strengths and he just pulled it off perfectly.
It's tournament football.
Yeah,
I have to say,
they did that every week in the league. Yeah,
Yeah, absolutely. You, it's a one-off game, you know, in the final. You play to your strengths.
They've won.
Yeah, and they've won, and they've taken the trophy home.
Yeah.
I have to say, I fancied Neuer in the shootout, but Czech outdid him.
Well, that's it. And again, it goes to penalties, and of course the Germans and whatnot.
3-1 up.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's misleading because they took first, but...
Yeah, but still.
Well, okay,
that's
yeah.
a point.
Yeah, true. Know. Yeah, statistically, they were 3-1.
They've got to be scored. And Neuer took one as well.
Yeah, oh, I love that. What a moment that was.
Will Joe Hart do that for England if we go to penalties, if we're in a knockout game?
I hope so.
Did Neuer not... Yeah, that means we get out of the group stage. I'll take that. Did Neuer get asked to take one because Robin didn't want to take one?
Oh,
it seemed to me there was a bit of confusion. They were Ribery, trying to point to him saying, you're taking one.
Ribery was, of course, off the pitch.
Yeah, well, he got injured in that tackle from Drogba that gave away the penalty, didn't he?
Yeah.
He did a hilarious miss kick about 5 minutes.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah.
On the touchline.
Complete
Whoa!
Air shot, yeah.
Did you see Sergio Ramos had a pop at Manuel Neuer on Twitter?
He did.
Because the German goalkeeper had remarked after the semi-final against Madrid something like, I didn't realise Ramos enjoyed blasting his spot kicks over the bar. Which is silly because you're only setting yourself up.
Yeah.
And then Ramos.
Work? I don't understand what the joke is.
Well, yeah, he's German, Pete.
Oh, I didn't realise that German. Something had happened.
Yeah, but
happens.
It's so piss poor. And Ramos couldn't believe his luck straight on Twitter. I didn't realise Neuer enjoys losing finals. Better luck next year. Always stay humble.
Brilliant.
Speaking of Sergio, I saw
David Luiz give an interview to Italian TV, and one of the analysts was Arrigo Sacchi.
Ah.
And obviously I couldn't understand what was happening because it was all in Italian, but I could hear David Luiz, who basically, it was about 5 minutes after the final whistle, and David Luiz looked pissed. And he was just going, yeah, Sacchi Careca, which basically means Sacchi bald.
Brilliant.
And it was on live TV, so Sacchi was just out laughing it off. And after a while, I was thinking, God, this has actually got quite disrespectful. He's one of the greatest managers of all time.
Did you see John Obi Mikel completely murked Jeff Shreve?
Yeah.
He's very much at the other end of that spectrum.
Yeah.
He just stole the microphone off him and started interviewing Kalou and got him to turn around and say, this is the reason we won, pointing at the spider he had shaven into the back of his head. And Shreve kept going, can I have a go? He's going, no! Brilliant. That should happen more.
Regarding Drogba, that's worth a 2-year extension.
He's off.
Sure.
He's doing one.
Yeah, he's gone. Yeah. Or going.
But you'd think that...
He stayed on that team bus parade and it's just gone. off into the sunset.
I read with the bus and trophy.
The news report said that he let the fellow players know on the bus.
Yeah.
On the bus tour.
Really?
I am a fucking disgrace. I'm making everyone miserable.
God. To be fair,
I wonder what John Terry tried to do to upstage that.
Yeah. I don't know, but it was the best moment of his career. It is nice, actually, if you think about it, for Drogba, who's been such a great player. Mm. You think about that moment, actually, Pete. He's finally won the trophy.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's had such a history in the Champions League with getting sent off so many times. Yeah. To be fair to Chelsea as well, you look at players like him, players like Frank Lampard, just delighted for them, really.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely delighted.
Those two players in particular really deserve it. Because Chelsea, whatever you think about them, they've always made the Champions League interesting. You know, they've
many semi-finals.
Yeah, they've done so well in it. They've had so many dramatic games, and they've tested Barcelona like no one else.
Them and Barcelona have been a brilliant duel over the. And this was actually the first one, which was really quite unbalanced, and yet they still managed to.
I'm absolutely delighted for Frank Lampard. I think he's a model pro,
and he took his penalty brilliantly. And I think Neuer.
Yeah,
sorry to cut in. Like,
but
Neuer, I think. He stayed still with Lampard's penalties. I think he knew he's going to smash it, but what can you do?
He roofed it. Absolutely roofed it. There's no stopping it. No stopping that.
So just remember that, Frank, if we get out of the group and if we're...
Yeah. See, we weren't... We didn't watch the game together, did we? But where I was, we were all going... He's going to miss this when Schweinsteiger was stepping up. He looked so nervous. Was that the general consensus where you guys were? Sometimes you just know, especially if you're watching the game with no sort of
investment. I called Luiz's top corner one. I was quite pleased with that.
he didn't even watch Robbins.
No, he never did.
No.
Was it Luiz the one where he took the biggest run up I think I've ever seen?
Side foot hit, top corner.
I'd have Luiz taking the penalty all day. He's technically very good.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
I'd have him up front. We've discussed this before.
Yeah, my rationale for penalty takers and shootouts is always that the pressure really gets to you and makes you do like sort of difficult things. So you always go for the technically most proficient players.
That's right.
Because the technique will always come through. And Luiz is absolutely that. Mm. That's why you'd obviously have Luiz over Cahill taking one all day. Yeah. You know?
But why did Schweinsteiger make that decision?
Well, he's captain, isn't he?
To stop. and then tick.
Oh yeah, he tried to be a bit too clever.
It was like that was the exact moment that the jitters kicked in. Yeah. From then on, he was just spent. It's like his fan belt broke or something.
What about John Terry and getting into his gear?
Well, I was about to say.
I know that other players have done this in the past, but I still don't agree with it.
To be fair to Terry.
Do we have to?
You know, he turned up. No, I think that, you know, he loves that club, you know, and that club love him. And
they know what he looks like. He looks like, even in a suit.
Yeah, but okay.
They'll see him in a suit when he's up in court.
Okay, no, I understand that. Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, you know, saying it was the best moment of his career, blah, blah, blah. You know, fair enough, he's going to massively get involved, you know, because a lot of players, like we said, with Keane and Scholes in 99, yep. They didn't want to get in. And
but
actually,
you can still get involved without dressing yourself up like a kid on Christmas Day. Yeah. with your
shin pads and everything. Yeah, shin pads and everything.
Yeah, that's a bit unforgiving.
In case of what?
Yeah, I know, exactly, yeah.
If you fancy putting him on in.
All I can remember is, in the 99 final...
Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't take a penalty. Just to really rub it in. Yeah.
When Keane and Scholes were in their suits and everyone was trying to cajole them into the celebration, they weren't having it.
Yeah, but I think, you know, Roy Keane, to me, is probably more about himself than the club. And he said, you know, I never played, so it doesn't mean anything. Now,
yeah, well, Keane and Scholes, I think with those two, they won't want to look back on those photos and remember that they weren't involved. Whereas Terry, you know, he just wants to just lord it up. He doesn't care about that. He's just delighted that they've won.
Okay.
Flash forward a few years and Michael Owen's, you know, stripped down to his kit to celebrate for Manchester United on the last day of the season.
Was he
and
not on
City
the, he was on the bench, though, to be fair.
What? Keep his tracksuit on. At least until you know you've got the bloody Premier League wrapped up.
Let me make this clear. I've got absolutely no problem with John Terry celebrating the Champions League win.
I've got problems with Michael Owen. He's played like three games.
I just don't think he should be in his kit. I think if you want to do it in your suit or whatever, fair enough. He contributed to him getting
there. Fair enough. I know, I agree.
All I'm saying is, why have you got a kit and your shin pads in? The reason he's done that, is, in my opinion, is the egotistical reason that when the photos come out in 10 years' time, everyone's going to go, oh, there he is in his kit, and think he played when he didn't, which I think is immensely disrespectful to Keir and Louise, who did a good job.
There you go. And bearing in mind what he did in the semi.
We're all on side.
It was one...
What a rotter.
He gave them an uphill battle in the semis, so...
Yeah.
Let's not forget, in his kit.
Yeah, I take everything back, John. Unless you do.
Actually, maybe the referee should have given him a retrospective red card for hubris.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was one of the ITV interviewers said to Didier Drogba after the game, "Was it faked?" Which I think is quite a sort of not really the time for that sort of question.
Was
it faked? Yeah, it did make me think.
Was it fake, like the moon landing or something?
Has this actually happened? Yeah. Are you serious?
But yeah, it made me think that perhaps, you know, they did do it clearly against the odds. Bayern looked like they had it sewn up on three different occasions. Is this the luck of Spurs? Yeah. Is that what powered them to it?
I've had Spurs fans say to me this week, "Well, it's a stupid rule." It's like, well, you can't have 33 teams in the Champions League.
You
finished fourth.
I think winning the Champions League shows that you're more worthy of being in the Champions League than finishing fourth in the league.
You've got to have the holders in there. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You've got to have the holders. But do Arsenal then have to play a preliminary round?
I don't believe so.
No, I think Chelsea go into the fourth playoff round. So they're going to the round you would go in if you came
fourth.
Chelsea do? Yeah.
Oh, so they do. That's what Liverpool had to do. You're absolutely right.
Spurs are in the Europa League proper, so...
And they love that, don't they?
Yeah.
They really enjoyed that this season, didn't they? got knocked out of a group that contains Shamrock Rovers.
Anyway, well, that's a nice little segue. Let's go to the Premier League. There's a little bit of news that we've got to wrap up. We're talking about Chelsea there. Fabio Capello's ruled himself out of the Chelsea job, which I'm surprised. I thought he might fancy that, actually.
We don't know yet whether Di Matteo is going to be sort of given a serious crack at it, do we? But I do wonder, you know, Abramovich was all... The reason he hired Andre Villas-Boas in the first place is because he wanted this free-flowing attacking football, and Di Matteo is perhaps demonstrating that you won't necessarily always get that. So I think that's probably going to make Abramovich think twice in, like, the cold, sober light of day, you know, aside from all this. So I think, again, I don't know if Capello would fit the mould of what he wants.
I think it depends on the opponent. I mean, I've seen Chelsea play some pretty decent football under Di Matteo in the league this season. It's just pragmatism. You know, Abramovich needs to realise...
No, but I think he wants it every game.
What, against Bayern in the final?
No, but I think that's what he wants. You know?
I think Jim's wrong.
They've got the money to do it, you know.
Well, Capello's not going to play that sort of football.
Exactly, that's what I mean. I don't really ever think that was a goer.
I think I'd give Di Matteo a year. I'd give him a year.
Yeah.
He's earned his stripes. Give him a year.
Smacks of Houghton to me.
Now give him a rolling week-by-week
contract. Yeah, yeah. Keep his toes.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the players as well.
Elsewhere in England, Liverpool and Kenny Dalglish have parted ways.
Yes, they have.
It's not surprising, is it?
No, not really. I mean, obviously they did very well winning the cup and getting to another final, but and there were a lot of Liverpool fans really angry about it. They wanted to see Dalglish given more time, but they were something like 37 points off the top, and I just think, you know, clearly the initial plan was for him to rebuild a bit, but it's just gone so spectacularly wrong.
I think they could have done all right next season. I think I probably would have given him... I mean, people talk an awful lot about how people are quick to fire managers and stuff like that. It's the same with Dalglish. Why does he deserve less time than anyone else? Mm. He's been given the job on merit, from what I can see. Mm. He's been in the job, 18 months or something? Give him another year for his science. There's a huge amount of upheaval at that club.
Yeah. PR-wise, it's been a bit of a stinker, though.
Oh, it has, yeah.
You're having sponsors stepping in and forcing the hand of a stubborn manager, effectively.
Yeah, you can learn lessons of that.
And I think Dalglish did learn lessons from that, because he came out and said he would have handled it completely different were it to happen again.
I think what more
can he do there?
Yeah, he's made mistakes, but everyone makes mistakes. I think he deserved a bit more time. But... again, as we always say with these sort of hiring and firing of managers business, it's only 50% of the story. The other 50% is who they get in. Mm-hmm. And given that, you know, when was the last time a Swansea manager turned down a Liverpool job?
Frank de Boer as well as turned it down. It's a tough job. And can you think of a harder job in football? Really?
No, and also I actually think some of the fans have made it difficult for managers to accept. They've almost driven managers out of the club.
Martinez is currently favourite, isn't he, to take over? Mm.
I think he'd do a good job if he was given enough time. Because he'd have to set the team up and get them playing the football he likes to play, sign the personnel he likes to sign. Joe Cole would like Martinez back. That's why we'd like Martinez at the club. He'd go back there, he'd love it.
Mm. Would they not... No, that's a good point, actually. But, like, would they give him the amount of money they give to... their Messiah figure, sort of speak.
I'm not sure how much money they've got. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I think part of the reasoning behind getting Martinez would be that he is quite a sort of shrewd manager, isn't he? He probably would know how to find some bargains, you know, because Wigan have been so good for that, and obviously he's been a part of that, and also when he was at Swansea as well. But, you know, they barely stayed up this season and last, and the progression clearly has been steady but minimal, because they found themselves in the same situation again. So I don't think Martinez would deliver overnight. It's such a different system that you'd have to implement.
About Steve Keane, he's no longer Blackburn manager.
No, he is.
Apparently he still is.
Oh, he still is?
Yeah. No one knows what's going on.
It's absolute chaos. You know,
I thought they'd shuffled the packages.
Rumors, the chicken, no?
The rumours going round are that what's kept Steve Keane in the job, because he's also had one of his mates promoted to the board, who seemingly is going to act like a conduit between the board and the public. So he's going to be almost like a PR
decision.
Because a lot of people at Blackburn, or you know, fans of the club, are furious that they never seem to hear from Venky. They never explain what they're doing. And the rumours are that Steve Keane said he could keep hold of Junior Hoylett if he stays in the job, and that is apparently what saved him the job. This is just what I've read.
Allegedly,
and, absolutely. And but that is, I mean, that, he can't promise that, surely, can he?
Keane's promised a lot worse on video. Yeah. Oh, well, win the Carling Cup. Why the Carling Cup? Yeah.
I'm starting to think he's told Venky's that he's got the Colonel's secret blend of herbs and spices in his back pocket. Joking aside, it's starting to get a bit dark now, isn't it? Steve Keane at Blackburn. It's not far off a falling down moment.
Mm. No.
It's
a bit like Colonel Kurtz in the apocalypse now, isn't it? They're going to have a big moat around Ewood at some point. No one's allowed in. They're all going to be got war paint on.
Mm. Well, Jerome Anderson, who's Steve Keane's agent, isn't he? Also apparently has a lot of influence at the club. So the FA have got to have a look at this, haven't they? It's such a mess.
Well, the Premier League as well. Yeah.
What's been alleged is that Keane was given the job because he's one of Jerome Anderson's clients, and Venky's effectively signed the club over to Jerome Anderson to run it. And I believe Steve Keane signed Miles Anderson, Jerome Anderson's son, and massively talked him up as this amazing player.
And he's just not played.
Well, no, he's probably not that good. I think, there's obviously ulterior motives there. Mm. It's a very strange situation. I feel sorry for Blackburn fans, as we said a couple of weeks ago.
They don't deserve this at all, because they have become, you know, we've joked about them a lot because, you know, some of the things are just unavoidably funny. Sorry, Blackburn fans. But, you know, being serious, they don't deserve to just have the piss taken out of them.
This is.
Yeah. Can you imagine how angry Colin Hendry is right now? His face will be turquoise. Yeah.
Mm. What about Norwich fans? Do they deserve Grant Holt handing in a transfer request?
No, disappointing. Yeah. Is that a desperate attempt to finally get on that plane?
31, though, you know, he's that sort of... It's a Bullard move, isn't it? It's like one last move. He's had a good season in the Premier League.
I've heard that he's meeting the chief executive this week, so it might just be
Delia.
I don't know if it is her. I think she's a different woman.
But maybe a bargaining.
Yeah, just to get a better contract.
And he doesn't always start matches, so, you know, maybe he wants a guarantee that if he's fit, he'll play.
I can't see anyone signing.
He doesn't look fit.
A couple of old favourites. Michael Owen released by Manchester United.
Lols.
Oh, yeah, also, Kieran Dyer, 1 year extension at QPR.
That's right, that's right. Yeah.
31 league games in 5 seasons he's played.
He's only completed a one game or something like that.
7 minutes. He was subbed off after 7 minutes.
That must be a contractual clause.
Has he not only
clause?
Completed one game since like 2007 or something? Stupid like that.
Oh, it might be true, but
I'm hoping this is pay as you play for QPR's sake.
But I mean, if it must be contractual. Must be, if I play more than six minutes. I get a new contract for another year. Oh, yeah, yeah. What?
He's 33 as well. He's not a spring chicken.
This is it.
Yeah. If he was a spring chicken, Blackburn would have signed him. Yeah.
Well, he's taking five years off. I mean, he might be. He might be amazing.
Yeah.
Well, his old club, West Ham, are up.
Yes. Yes.
Sam
yes.
Allardyce has done it. West Ham fans will be mightily relieved. They beat Blackpool 2-1 in the final of the playoffs, or the playoff final, as they call it.
I'm happy for Kevin Nolan. Give that man some flies because he is a club promoter.
Yeah.
Very good.
It's a shame for Blackpool. And, you know, they had a couple of chances. I mean, it was a real pulsating game.
They rallied a bit.
As it always is in the playoff final. Mm.
They rallied a bit after half time, but, I mean, you've got to say that on balance, West Ham were the better team.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were throughout the season as well. They finished a lot. I think they beat Blackpool 4-0 and 4-1
as well, yeah. Mm. They did it the West Ham way as well, which is to massively put their fans through the ringer.
Yeah. Tom Ince looks a good player.
Tom Ince. He nearly did the funniest thing ever as well. That's just, could you imagine if Paul Ince's son had been the catalyst for them not getting up?
Oh my goodness, I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Good
there. Why were there so many empty seats at the playoff final? Did you see that?
Blackpool sent loads back and West Ham weren't allowed to take them.
I hate it.
Holloway lost some.
Yeah, that's, I really hate it when they do that.
If Faz Tate had spent all the season taking off his shirt before the match, I think they'd have won more matches because he petrifies me when he takes it off.
Yeah.
He is. Pump up.
Yeah, he scored loads of goals this season as well. I think he's got 20 odd goals.
Fingers as well.
I mean, he looked a really sort of decent prospect as a young player at Bolton. It's really shrewd of Allardyce to have gone back there and he's really getting the best out of
him. Didn't Allardyce get him when he was about 16 or something? Yeah.
But, you know, West Ham, you just think, you know, kind of like Newcastle, maybe not with such security, but just Dr. Walter in the Premier League, you would have thought maybe.
I think they've definitely.
I don't know if it will be that simple.
No.
They've got the support.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Sorry, they will fit. They won't think. Oh, blimey, we're in the Premier League. You know, they'll think.
They're at the level that they're comfortable at, I suppose. Yeah.
I thought it was funny to see the post-match interview on the pitch with Vaz Tay and James Tompkins. And Vaz Tay was so much more articulate than James Tompkins. even though it's his second language.
James Tompkins looks a bit like Russell Brand. Something about his mouth.
He's nowhere near as articulate as Russell Brand.
But they both love West Ham. The conference Premier playoff final. Luton Town lost to York City. I mean, oh my goodness.
York City have done a legendary double.
Yeah.
The FA Trophy.
Do you know what I mean?
And promotion to the Football
They're
League.
They're the Chelsea of York.
Yeah. Yorkshire.
They have 10,000 men.
are you not happy for York? They've been out for such a long time.
I'm massively happy for York.
Gary Mills, Leicester legend.
But York City
Screw you, Marcus.
But York City never took 30-odd thousand people there. Yeah. This is what I'm saying for Luton.
York's a lot further away, isn't it?
It is a lot
Unfortunately, the promotion isn't based on how many fans you take.
That's right. Yeah. I'm just saying, a club like Luton Town shouldn't be down there.
No, they've been mismanaged. It's a shame for them.
That's kind of what I'm going for. Of course I'm happy for York City. I bloody love them.
Ooh.
It's good to have another team back in the Football League that start with and end with the same letter.
Lovely.
to join Aston Villa.
Oh, yeah.
And the others, York City are magic-y.
And Northampton Town.
Oh, good. Lovely stuff.
Go on to what you want to talk about.
Right, are we leaving the UK or are we staying?
You're the anchor power.
Should
we go over Hadrian's Wall?
Shall we ever? Because the one that in my household cast a shadow over events in Munich was the magnificent Gorky Boys, Jim.
You're going to say Gorky Boys.
Let's all do the BT.
I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It wasn't 2-3-4-1. It was 5-1.
Embarrassing.
They've missed 6 out of 10 penalties this season. I swear they only put Hibs to the sword because... they didn't want it to go to penalties because they were scared of missing the mark
of Midlothian.
It was a great game. They could have had thousands.
It was bedlam at Hampden Park. You see it before the kickoff. That place has never had it so good, I tell you.
Well, the atmosphere was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was. But the last time they met the cup, it was 1896, lest we forget.
I did watch the match. That Suso Santana guy.
Oh, yeah.
They thought, oh, he's Spanish, he's probably quite good. Let's man-mark him, but use five men.
Yeah.
That seemed to be the key.
Was it not a shame I couldn't have it at Murrayfield?
No, you never have at Murrayfield.
Yeah, but it's both Edinburgh teams. Yeah, no, but they're about to... They've got to plow over to Glasgow, haven't they?
Glasgow's much closer to Edinburgh than flipping Manchester is to London. Or
that's
true.
It's like an hour on the train.
That's true, yeah.
And
yeah,
that
yeah.
train back would have been really unenjoyable for some of those people.
I'll tell you what, Edinburgh, there's two very good friends of mine. They both live together, and one's Hearts and one's Hibs, and they both said to me, you know, like my Hibs mate said, if Hearts win, I'll spend a week at home with the parents. I'm not going anywhere near him. I phoned my Hearts friend on the Sunday night. It was about 10 o'clock, still in the pub, barely got a wink of sleep.
Nice.
And his groaky voice was like, Marcus, it's absolute, it's a Scatchell is an effing goal machine, I could hear in the background.
He's always good for a goal, Scatchell, when it counts.
Even if it's deflected.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to feel a bit sorry for the Hibs.
Oh, God, yeah. The penalty was harsh as well, I thought.
He did tuck it, but
it was outside the box.
It did look outside, and that was at 2-1, of course.
Yeah, that was the killer. That was probably the sort of final nail in the coffin, really. And after that, they rolled over.
And the manager, Fenlon, was even sent to the stands.
That's a Scottish custom, though, isn't it? If your team's losing, you're a manager of Scotland, get yourself sent to the stands.
Get off it. Well, I had no control.
I'll not have that!
And as they lifted the cup, you could hear the prominent sounds of Flo Rida.
It's traditional.
Why were the stadium announcers playing
because
the music?
That's what they played 106 years ago when they last met.
Sometimes I get a good feeling. It's Scotland. Crying out loud. Last time Hibs won the cup was 1902. Sorry, Hibs. But not this time.
I mean, Alex Salmond, the Scottish First Minister, summed it up by saying... And he's a Hearts fan, isn't he? And they said, the radio said, oh, yeah, you're looking forward to this
game. You don't get this in England.
he actually said, we've not played our biggest... No. He said, no one on earth is alive from the last time we played our rivals in the cup final. Of course I'm excited.
I'm taking Monday off.
Yeah.
Oh, it was incredible, though.
I also love the way that in England you get like... So when Gordon Brown, who's obviously Scottish, but was Prime Minister of Britain, when England had to play Scotland or whatever it was, he sort of said, you know, I'd like to see England do well, but I'm really diplomatic. Salmond, not having
no chance.
I'm Hearts!
Yeah, exactly.
You see all the European heads of state and indeed Barack Obama playing, watching the Chelsea match?
Watching the Hearts.
Yes, they were watching the Scottish Cup final.
At the G8.
Yeah.
The G8, we're loving that. Yeah. Five goals, have some of that, boys.
Yeah. Obama grew up a Hearts fan.
He did. I tell you what's nice as well is that Hearts might get revenge. Another crack at Spurs, maybe, in the Europa.
We're coming for you, Spurs. The Gorgon boys are coming for you.
Exactly. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Right, let's move to France.
Are you sure you're done?
Well, we might come back to it. But let's go to Ligue 1, where Montpellier have bloody won the league.
That is staggering, isn't
it? The riches of PSG couldn't stop him.
It's beautiful.
He dyed his hair, didn't he?
Did you see the big man? Big Louis Nicolas with a Montpellier orange and blue mohawk. The man's 60-odd years old.
Is he the chairman or the owner?
He's the owner. Been owner for ages.
He's everything.
He looked like Mr. Paparazzi. You know, the fat guy who's our big brother.
He's had some quotes this year.
I think
homophobic. He's the kind of guy who will say something really homophobic. Oh, I'm very sorry. Well, that's what I think anyway.
Yeah. I'm very sorry that you're offended that I'm a rampant homophobe.
Yeah.
Look at my hair.
You bender. He's had some shockers,
he made his money from refuse collection, I think. That's how he made his fortune. I think they call him the bin man.
And now, how has he made his money? Through John Utaka.
Scored both goals, didn't he?
So Montpellier, you're welcome, because I'm pretty sure Portsmouth are paying his wages somewhere. I'm sure
Portsmouth Academy set him up here. That's incredible, isn't it? Utaka's won the French league.
Scored
two priceless goals. They were 2-1 down away to Auxerre.
Yeah,
and they needed to get something.
They were throwing like tomatoes and tennis balls on the pitch as well because they were so angry about having been relegated. Yeah. Which is just ludicrous in a game that could decide the title.
Many pitch invasions. I'm surprised any football got done
flares.
At all.
Flares. It was very disrespectful.
There were big flares in the Coppa Italia final as well.
Big flares.
Flares everywhere apart from England, aren't they? It's the same as nicknames.
Big flares are back.
Big flares are back.
You're getting banners here a lot more.
You are, actually, aren't you? Yeah. Slowly but surely. Eden Hazard keeps blowing kissy faces at Premier League clubs, doesn't he?
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, three of them.
So the latest rumour I've heard is that United... United have offered... well, Andrew McLeish has gone now. So that's probably why.
Do you think that's what he said? Mm.
Is that his head turned?
Yeah. He's basically said, I'd like to wait until McLeish chooses his next club, if you don't mind, because I'd like to plan him. But he apparently, this is not all rumours, but I've heard that City have offered him £230,000 a week, and United have offered him £150,000 a week or something. So on that level, it's a bit of a no-brainer.
£230,000.
But there are, I mean, and now they've got the title this year.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like they
want to come to the champions, do you?
In fairness, there are reasons to go sign for United over City as well. You know, yeah. So I mean, who knows?
Location, what?
He's definitely coming to England. That's the main thing.
Yeah, Gary Cook's never worked at
Watford. Yeah.
So he's definitely coming to England if he decides. Italy, Napoli beat Juventus 2-0 in the Coppa Italia. So no fairy tale ending for Del Piero. Or they say that. I mean, to be fair, going winning the league and finishing unbeaten, I think, is pretty fair.
To be honest, though, I think this is one of the best sides Napoli have ever had, and for them to have that, you know, almost commemorated with winning a trophy is as romantic.
Yeah, I think it's good for Napoli.
And they deserve it so much.
First time since 1990.
Well, yeah, first major trophy. Yeah,
yeah.
They have been good this season, Napoli. You know,
Juve were really poor. Mm. I mean, Del Piero didn't really get much of a sniff. Had a chance or two, but nothing really. Yeah. It's interesting how Juve's, because Juve lost against Milan in the second leg of the semi, didn't they? Which made it go to extra time. They were 2-1 down, and they won after extra time, and they've obviously lost the final as well. But I thought Cavani was excellent again. Hamzik's second was a
beauty. That was a delightful
one, great take.
And yeah, I think Napoli will be decent in the Europa League next season.
It was classic Napoli, the breakaway.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which is what they've done.
I love that the nets were done in the colours of the Italian flag.
I like that as well.
Really nice touch.
Yeah. Well done, the nets.
How do they do that? Anybody?
Paint them or something.
Yeah.
Different colours.
How would you paint a net?
I didn't do it.
Just said.
Get off his back. Something we never mentioned last week was the European Golden Shoe.
Oh, yeah.
Which, of course, Messi won with 50 league goals. Ronaldo was second with 46. Van Persie finished in third with 30.
That is ridiculous, isn't it?
Oh, don't Anshi want Robin Van Persie?
45 million, apparently.
You're not going to get him. He won't go there.
No.
You say you as if Jimbo suddenly has switched allegiance in case.
No, you wouldn't go there, would you?
I don't think so. Yeah. Come on.
If the 46 million went to you.
Yeah, I still wouldn't go there.
That's footballers' money for footballers.
Yeah, it is, yeah. that's the sort of figure that makes a footballer go, well, the game's gone mad.
I did like this, going back to the Golden Shoe. Huntelaar was fourth with 29 and Zlatan was fifth, 28. I just wanted to mention Zlatan.
Overrated.
Fair enough.
Cristiano Ronaldo recently spoke of the constant comparisons between himself and Messi, which have gone on for quite some time now. He said, sometimes it makes me tired. For him too, because they compare us together all the time. You cannot compare a Ferrari with a Porsche because there's a different engine. It's not about who's better. Some people say I'm better, other people say it's him. But at the end of the day, they're going to decide who's the best player at the moment, which I think is me.
Sounded quite humble. Little reveal of being a prick in the end.
Yeah. What I love is the Messi fact, don't stop comparing us, but I'll get in on the act as well.
Yeah.
We talk about sports cars. I seem to remember Ronaldo wrapping one round was it a bridge or something?
He's done quite a few of them over, I think.
Footballers are just immune to car crashes, mostly.
Ronaldo went for a phase of keeping on crashing really expensive cars on the way to the airport.
Yeah, but just walking away unscathed.
Yeah, Anderson did it as well.
True. Yeah, that is
Anderson
true.
Did it as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
Anderson did that in Portugal.
There's 72 goals in all competitions.
Messi.
Yeah.
I think with Argentina it's 77 as well.
Yeah, I think
and obviously like Pedro were out and stuff, and I guess that kind of inflates it a little bit. But well,
they've got the Spanish 72. Cup. Spanish Cup next week, of course, against Bilbao. Right, let's finish with European club football. Let's talk about the England squad.
Mm.
Never got a chance last week, of course. Everybody's happy.
Hodgson out. I think Redknapp will do a good job. I've been thinking about it.
Who would Redknapp have taken?
Yeah,
we don't care.
He'd still have taken Downing. You know he would.
But Downing seems to be the one that people have got most issue with. Mm. I think he's taken Downing because Hodgson, we know he likes his shapes and his zonal systems and all that kind of stuff, and I just think if he wants a left-footed player there, if indeed to provide a bit of balance, whatever, not that you necessarily need that, you can play slightly lopsided and whatnot, but I think, you know, he would look at someone like Daniel Sturridge or Adam Johnson or Downing, and like we said before, and why he's probably omitted the likes of Micah Richards as well, is I don't think they follow instruction. Well, I say that's what Mancini said about one or two of his players. Capello said that before. I think, you know, Downing more likely will put in a shift. You know, I'm a little bit sceptical. He hasn't had the best of seasons. The stats prove that.
He's an out of form round peg in a round hole.
Yeah, but I don't think his record for England has been that bad.
No, I don't think so. I think he would put in a shift, whereas, but he won't do anything he won't contribute something match winning.
I don't know how relevant as well your form for England is when they play, you know.
Well, look at Peter Crouch, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
The amount of goals he scored for England when, you know, he's not always.
Yeah, we're not exactly blessed with goals, are we, in the team? I mean, I thought Crouch could consider himself a little bit unlucky. He scored some decent goals this season.
Yeah, but
I mean, that absolute world that he scored as well.
Yeah, but he's you know, he's gone for Carroll there, hasn't
he's
he?
He's 31 yeah. compared to Carroll, who, you know, he could possibly mould into being a future player for England. But I like having an underwhelming England squad. It's to nice. Whelm is to dream, I think.
It is really nice that the expectation level is so low, isn't it? And I hope it doesn't get too nasty, because, you know, Hodgson that was trending on Twitter, wasn't it? Probably
the day half, it was announced.
Half ironically, half seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing
so
is,
I hope that doesn't become. I hope the Sun, you know, aren't photoshopping him into a turnip or, you know, whatnot, and just give him an actual chance. But, you know, it's refreshing that there's, you know, people aren't sort of beating the drum saying we're going to win it.
The thing is,
because clearly we're not.
Yeah. Yet.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, the thing is, though, a lot of people say, oh, it's a bit of a safe squad. Well, Joe Hart's never played in a tournament. You know, one or two of the centre backs, you know, maybe it's Cahill or perhaps Lescott. Cahill, I'd imagine, would start. He's never played. Scott Parker.
Yeah.
Ashley Young. You know, Danny Welbeck.
I was pleased.
Loads of them have not played tournament football. So when they say it's a safe squad, what, do you want a dangerous squad?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Should we
just Barton in the middle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is nearly risky enough. What yeah. do you want? People.
What about Rooney to come in and kick somebody in the yeah. back of the leg?
Yeah. Basically, people don't know what they want.
No, exactly. They're always find a weird reason to get annoyed. And I think one of the most...
Because an England squad is never going to be that good.
No, exactly. I thought one of the most telling things Hodgson said, because we were maybe, on this show, we were maybe a bit premature saying he might usher in a new sort of era, yeah. if you like. I think, I do still think he'll plan on doing that, but one of the most telling things he said in the press conference was that he wanted to keep faith in the players that are qualified.
Yeah.
He said, I've been parachuted in to a certain extent. This is still half... or three quarters of Capello squad,
yeah. Yeah.
And the real,
and it is,
yeah, of course,
a lot
it
of people saying, oh, it is,
and the real work will start after the tournament,
yeah,
and when he starts building a long term legacy, hopefully, and he ushers these new players in. For many of these players, Gerrard, Lampard, one or two others, it's the last roll of the dice for them, really.
Again, yeah. people were going, oh, well, I wanted a bit more youth. What? Sorry, what? Carl Walker's injured. Rodwell's, you know, Wilshere's injured. Who else were you yeah. talking
Chamberlain's
about?
In.
Chamberlain, Oxlade Chamberlain.
Walcott's in.
Welbeck's in. What?
Yeah. And people are talking about like the same situation with when Walcott was taken to a tournament and never really used. You know, he's got so much more experience than Walcott had at that
well,
point.
Yeah, actually, Oxlade Chamberlain's played in the Champions League. That was the only thing Hodgson messed up on, didn't he, when he said yeah. he did a good job against Pirlo, and of course he wasn't playing.
The few surprises for me were that Butland's on standby ahead of Stockdale, which I thought was strange.
Yeah, I did that.
I was pleased for John Ruddy because he's had a good solid season. Yeah. He won't play, but it's a good experience for
yep.
him, you know.
Yep.
And and as we've said before, Robert Green's a little bit tainted.
Mm-hmm.
And if Joe Hart gets a bad injury, we're yeah. in real trouble.
Yeah, but yeah. we've said that with the goalkeepers before.
So it's good to get experience for Ruddy, you know, because he's only 25.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I thought it was strange that Henderson got the nod or stabbed by Carrick.
But Carrick said that he didn't want to do it.
Carrick's retired from international football on the sly, isn't he?
Yes.
Oh, right, blimey.
Yeah. Carrick
I didn't
said,
know that.
Carrick said, I don't want to be a bit part player.
And I would have had Lennon ahead of Downing, probably.
Would you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you make the point about the left foot. I'm not sure. You know, there's a lot of width in the team already, with Ashley Young and Oxlade Chamberlain can both play on the left. I think Oxlade Chamberlain will be used as an impact player,
I really want him to.
I'm excited to see him, actually. Yeah, I'm excited to see him come on. Because it's good. And even in this day and age of worldwide scouting and ProZone, it's still very, very effective to have a player that not many other teams know about.
Yeah.
You know, that does really work. I mean, look at Rooney in 2004.
Yeah.
Mm. People didn't know how to play against him. You know, I'm not suggesting that Oxlade Chamberlain is as good as Rooney, but he could be a real impact player for us. I'm telling you, I'm saying semis minimum.
It will be intriguing to see impacts of Andy Carroll. But what do you think of Gerrard being named as captain?
Well,
I love the way he did it. He's a captain. I spoke to him, Gerrard, that's it. He really played down the captain, which I think was a really shrewd move, actually.
Yeah. Well, it's clear that Gerrard's going to start, isn't it? You think it's going to be him or Lampard, hopefully, that will be getting the nod. So I don't know if I'd even start Gerrard personally, but then you've got to have that experience in there. So
well, I think he will start Gerrard now. You know,
talking about players not following instruction.
Well, there you go. But I think he will. You know, you're not going to pick your captain who will sit on the bench.
What about Terry and Ferdinand, though? No Ferdinand.
Well,
I'd have probably taken Ferdinand over Terry personally.
It's a bigger injury risk in terms of picking up something.
He said that Ferguson sort of hinted, can he play, you know, two games?
Yeah, because Ferguson doesn't want him to go, that's why.
Mind games, God, all over the shop.
Ferdinand's played more league games this season than he's played for the last 4 years.
Yeah, I know he has, but that's what Hodgson said.
Hmm. You know. Yeah, okay.
So he's looking at it. But we will talk much more about the Euros
next week.
Next week.
Yeah.
And when it starts.
And when, yeah. Yeah, and during. Yeah. Right. Now it's time for Going for Glold.
Going for Glold. It is time for Going for Glold, and I would like to thank Il Commandant Johnny Clifford for getting involved. In
sounds like a 50s singer.
He certainly does, like Jimmy Cliff or something.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. He came up with all of these clues, so I fact-checked them, and they seem kosher.
Stop devolving all your jobs.
Wait, seem.
In a minute. Well, next year we'll have someone coming in. Yeah, I've got someone in for this.
I told you, Davies is on standby. Good. Oh, yeah. My favourite karaoke song is Mustang Sally.
Stop. Phil Brown.
No.
Oh.
It's probably his as well.
Yeah.
Stop. Terry Butcher.
No.
He's a Mustang Sally kind of bloke, isn't he?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I ended my career at Stoke City. I once had to walk around with felt tip eyebrows after Robbie Fowler shaved my real ones off.
Stop.
Neil Ruddock?
No.
No, he never finished at Stoke, did he? It's the kind of thing, you know. Hmm. It's a fair shout.
Stop. Yeah. John Scales?
No. I scored a header against AC Milan at the San Siro in the Champions League. One of only 8 career goals I have scored.
Oh, blimey. Oof.
Stop. Rob Jones?
No. No?
Nope.
No.
I was capped for both the England B team and the Scotland national team.
Oh, bloody hell.
In 2000, I moved from Liverpool to Leeds for £4.25 million.
Stop. Dominic Matteo.
Dominic Matteo.
Yeah. Yes.
It's in there.
My autobiography was titled In My Defence. Johnny Clifford, we salute you with
both. Dude, I remember that header. Keeper got big hands to it, but it went in.
Dominic Matteo is one of those players I just completely forgot ever existed.
He sort of morphs into Di Matteo, doesn't he, a little bit?
Yeah, yeah. I've got nothing against Dominic Matteo, but that's a lot of money to go to Leeds for.
Yes, well, Leeds were...
Oh yeah, that's true. They were living the dream.
Yeah. Do you remember how much money they spent?
Yeah,
I think they got a point at Milan when he scored the header.
It's worth it, isn't it? League One, 5 years later.
It's a genio that equalised. Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time. Woo! And the Dean Winners Hall of Fame is in association with Kitbag.com once again, people. Now, who have we got this week, boys? I'll tell you who we've got. It's one of the greatest European players of all time. It's Michel Platini.
Oh.
Mr. Europe himself.
Yeah.
Some might say a controversial entry, but I'm sure we'll come to that.
Well, of course, current president of UEFA. We will mention that later on. But
what a player.
What a player. It cannot be ignored. It really can't. Whatever he may be getting up to right
now. It would
right
be rubbish to do him as a profile. They'd ignore it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
As I said before we started recording, there's enough wife-beating drunks in the Dean Windass Hall of Fame. You can't judge them on things they've done after football.
Well, we are primarily going to be focusing on his admin, I would think.
His tax returns. Wow.
Whatever he's faultless. Whatever he's getting up to,
which
right
is unusual
now,
for them,
or whatever he goes on to do, he was quite simply a magnificent football player, absolutely magnificent, and his playing career can only be applauded. But we will start where we always do with his birthday, the 21st of June, 1955.
Oh, 12 years before the summer of love.
Oh, are you shutting down for the summer?
Ooh, someone's knocked off early.
I've had too many cookies. I go to sleep now.
Throwing your maths all out.
Yeah. Mm.
This man is the person who Zinedine Zidane would pretend to be when playing in the school playground. That's how good he is. Yeah. Or was.
A great hair model as well.
Oh, yeah.
For a balding man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
When you become like a sort of... when you sign with like a professional club, even as a like youngster...
Yes.
Do you think you stop pretending that you are an actor, like a, you know, a current footballer?
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
But even if you're on the books of a club and, you know...
George Best always said that he used to do sort of monologues of famous players in his head when he was playing and stuff. Sing songs and stuff. Weird.
Said recently that he would find out from the kit man what kit they were wearing on the next match, and he'd sort of visualise himself wearing that kit doing amazing stuff.
He's big into visualisation of Rooney. Yeah, he said it's been a huge part of his career.
As am I.
Yeah, is that right? Yeah,
that's right indeed. I can see you all naked. Now, he had trials at Metz at an early age, and after a vigorous training session one day in hot conditions, his medical test showed that his heart was struggling a little bit. Mets were quite concerned by this, as you could imagine.
Yeah.
Now, the medical tests weren't as up to date as they are now. But so he went to Nancy after Mets said no thank you to him. And he had some more tests there, medical stuff, and was advised to give up the sport. But incredibly, after perhaps more tests and one thing another, a bit of training, they said he was okay and he carried on with his footballing ambitions.
And we're grateful he did.
What a player he turned out to be. He made his debut for Nancy at the age of 18. They were relegated in his first season, but the second season is where he started to come into his own. An attacking midfielder he was, we mustn't forget. Scored 17 goals and they won the French second division. First season back in the top flight, finished seventh with Platini getting 22 goals.
From the number 10 position, from the Diaz.
That's right, yeah. And he just started having a lot of fun in the 70s during the game. I mean, he won the French Footballer of the Year in 1976. Same year he's got his French, first goal for the French national team with a trademark free kick. He was an absolute git for a free kick.
Strangely, really early in his career, he was a target for sort of the boo boys quite a lot, wasn't he? And he really had to overcome that. He had to work really hard to get people to stop just giving him stick.
Well, I think he very quickly established himself as an excellent player, but also that number 10 talismanic.
The flamboyant.
He was a fan of the old socks rolled down as well, wasn't he? Yeah. Which probably would rub people the wrong way a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was that kind of, right, give the ball to me, I'll do something amazing, you know. So when
I always say that, but you boys never listen.
Well, that's true, yeah, you're never there. when we do a counter-attack. So, yeah, I think that's probably the reasons, isn't it? There was so much expectation on him. Because he was so blooming good, that's why. I mean, it's a bit like when if Cristiano Ronaldo has a slightly off day or somebody like that in a big game. Oh, he's bottled it again.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter, he scored 600 goals. And yeah. After in the 70s, it's 1978 more specifically, he scored the only goal in the cup final when they won 1-0. And he was only too shy of 100 league goals for Nancy when he left them in 1979, which was absolutely incredible
for an attacking midfielder.
Midfielder. In 1977, he finished third in the Ballon d'Or, but better things would come for him over there. Played for France at the 1978 World Cup, but failed to make an impression on the tournament. Well, the team did, really. Went out in the first round. And that was when people got on his back a little bit there, Jim. He was playing through injury, though. And didn't have the kind of showing that many thought he might have.
All those people on his back.
Yeah, that's right.
Very hard to move around, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, his sort of main skills were his manoeuvrability. He could sort of get through anything.
And, yeah.
But once you carry an injury like that,
that's right.
You're just 10 times more sluggish, aren't you? I suppose.
A lot of players won't play if they've got a little niggle, would they? Some players play through it, but English players especially. But
yeah. Back in France, he moved to Saint-Étienne and scored over 25 goals in each of his three seasons there. Won the league in 1981.
That's when Saint-Étienne were banging him.
Over 25 goals a season for a midfield player.
It's good.
Absolutely super.
It's Lampard-esque.
It is Lampard-esque. In the 1982 World Cup, he really started to show the world what he could do with that number 10 on his back.
And they came fourth, didn't they, France?
They did reach the semi-finals and played some lovely football.
That's my favourite French kit.
Oh, yeah, it's a nice one, isn't it?
Beautiful piece of art.
They had a marvellous midfield quartet of Tigana playing.
Magic Square.
Yeah, well, that was the first Magic Square, although we'll come on to them in 1984. Because
it was 84, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, they kind of say the origins of it was in 1982. Jean Tigana playing defensive midfield with Giresse and Giannini on the flanks and then Platini up at the tip of the midfield. And in the semis, they had an unforgettable match against the Germans. When that was the one when Battison got smashed by by Schumacher.
Was it broke? Lost three teeth, broke a vertebrae, was unconscious on the pitch, wasn't he? Referee gave a goal kick.
Men were men back then.
Yeah,
men
were terrified.
Referees were idiots.
Yeah,
France were 3-1 up in extra time.
Yeah,
and they didn't put it away, and the Germans won on penalties. But Platini said being involved in that match was still one of the greatest moments of his career, as it provided such drama and entertainment, and the French should have gone through.
That's a really quite refreshing attitude on something like that, you know. Clearly, again, the man for the big occasion, that he cannot let something like that affect him.
And especially as they, you know, Schumacher should have been sent off
twice at least.
Basically, Schumacher's hip hit Patrick Battiston in the mouth and shattered his jaw. Yeah. And yeah,
it's the worst foul ever.
Yeah.
I suppose because of the, you know, the drama in the situation and the sort of context of it all.
And also, like, Schumacher, I mean, and later on Schumacher did apologise, but like initially he was quite blasé about it. He said, I think he was asked a question about it by a journalist, and he said something like, I'll just tell him I'll pay for the dental work. Tell him I'll pay for it. If he needs his teeth, then I'll pay for it, sort of thing. Which is really obviously horrendously arrogant.
Anyway, back to Platini.
Platini's mouth was fine.
Yes, that's
right.
We're
talking about him.
I know his dentist.
Yeah.
He's a lovely man.
He's a lovely man.
Platini joined Juventus in 1982 and had a wonderful time there. In his first season, he won the Coppa Italia and the Serie A top goal scorer with only 16 goals. Mm. But still he won it.
That's back in the day when it was less shut up shot.
In 1984, France did win a major tournament, the European Championships, which was staged in France. Platini owned that tournament. I think it's you know, you talk about, say, Maradona in World Cup 86, you know, kind of owned that tournament. But, you know, this is the absolute epitome.
It was like no one else was even there.
Mm. It really was. And people, I don't think, really know too much about the European Championships pre-1988 in this country. Mm. England weren't there in 84. But, you know, the European Championships was going for a while. And 84 was a decent tournament, actually. My goodness, I mean, 9 goals in 5 games.
He's got 2 hat tricks.
Two perfect hat tricks.
Oh my god. Scored in every game, right?
Yeah, that's right. They beat Portugal in an incredible game in the semis, 3-2. Platini scored the winner in the 119th minute.
Nice.
And they beat Spain in the final 2-0. And he scored, yeah, every game, total 9 goals. The next best scorer in the tournament was Denmark, ex-Chelsea man, Frank Arnesen. Well, Chelsea man behind the scenes.
With three goals.
During that tournament, France had, of course, the quintessential magic square, with Fernandes coming in for that one, making up the four.
Was Jurez, Platini and Tagana?
That's right, yeah. Some of the games that French side of the sort of early and mid-80s were involved with were absolutely superb, and Platini was a great part of that. They played wonderful football and probably should have, dare I say, maybe even won 82. I mean, they got to the semi-finals in 86, came third.
They'd plateaued.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, sort of.
Plateaued.
But what about his career at Juventus as well?
Well,
he played in a couple of European finals, didn't he, in Star?
He did, yeah. Well, of course, he won the Cup. His Cup in 84. And the league as well. He was top scorer in Serie A again, would be 3 seasons in a row.
So, 84, he won the European Championship, the Cup, the league, and was top scorer.
Yeah, and the Ballon d'Or.
It's not bad, is it?
He won the Ballon d'Or 3 times in a row, 83-45.
Yeah.
Serie A top scorer 3 seasons in a row. The first time since the Swede Gunnar Nordahl.
Oh, the big man.
Did it for Milan years previously. But, I mean, what a player he was. Could pick a thread of pass through the
great,
eye of the needle.
Great two good feet. Could slip a ball through. Would score his own goal. Like you said, free kick specialist.
Yeah.
Yeah, commander play well. He's obviously quality.
But trophy cabinet as well.
Yeah. But he finished like a striker, didn't he? When we would go through. Absolutely beautiful. He won the European Cup in 85 amidst the tragedy of the Heysel Stadium disaster.
He scored the winner, didn't he?
He scored
the penalty.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll tell you who else played in that game. Cesare Prandelli, current Italian manager.
Oh, right, did he?
Yeah, you've had some players then. Paolo Rossi.
Yeah.
Would
Zoff been going?
Boniek. Shearer played.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, Tardelli.
Was off in goal? Was he finished then? But yeah, certainly, they had some absolutely fantastic players.
Yeah.
As I said, in 1986, they finished in the semi-final.
I think Zoff had finished because he lifted the World Cup in 82.
Yeah,
that was true, I think.
1986, they knocked out Italy and Brazil on the way to the semis and were beaten once again by the Germans. Platini again playing with an injury during that tournament as well. Something people don't know about Platini is that he was a big practical joker. He was asked in an interview with 442. Someone said, oh, you used to be a bit of a practical joker, and he said, what do you mean? I still am. The three most important things in my life: my family, friends, and having a laugh.
Good.
Wasn't he, Jim? He had a bit of a prankish sense of humour.
Yeah, and there's a really bizarre thing he used to do when they were on away trips.
Yeah.
He'd go out in public, set off firecrackers, and then pretend to be dead.
From a man with a history of a heart condition.
That's got to be illegal.
The head of UEFA.
I hope he still does that.
Yeah, I do.
Just
as
in
well.
Around the halls of UEFA.
Yeah.
With Sepp.
I got you again.
In 1987, at the age of 32, he retired from football. He felt he'd lost a yard of pace. and rather than changing his game or becoming a bit part player, he would retire whilst at the top.
Yeah, did you see his in 1988 he had a testimonial back at Nancy.
Yeah.
It was a French team where he got all his pals to play, obviously, against the World 11. And the World 11 lineup included Lothar Matthäus, Marco Tardelli, El Diego, Francescoli, Wee Gordon Strachan, Zico, and Paolo Futre.
Really?
Paolo Futre played. He was at Atletico Madrid at the time, and he played. Futre 10.
Futre was a good player.
West Ham legend.
Yeah, yeah, basically. Finished 2-2, and yeah, it was good. There's a good little clip of it on YouTube, actually.
It often shows how much a player's respected, isn't it, when people like that want to turn out for it.
It's absolutely rammed in that stadium as well. It's amazing.
I can imagine. Yeah. I absolutely imagine. He amassed 72 caps for France, scoring 41 goals. Midfielder.
I'm pretty sure he was the leading scorer until Henri broke it, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was, yeah.
He summed up his playing career quite nicely, saying, "I began playing for the biggest club in the Lorraine region, went to the biggest club in France, and ended up with the biggest club in the world."
Yay.
I do quite like that. A year after retiring, he became manager of the French national side, gave Didier Deschamps his first international cap, and started a strike partnership up with Cantona and Papin.
Oh, you're having that. I think Papin might have scored in that testimonial, actually.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he played in that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, marvellous. He got the best out of Cantona for France, many people saying. When Cantona was thinking about quitting, Platini was one of the people who influenced his move to England to help restart his career, because he said, "I think he'll do well there."
Yeah.
So thank you very much for that, Michel.
Yeah.
When he managed France into the 90s, they went on a record-breaking 19-game unbeaten run. And were one of the favourites for Euro 92, but they didn't manage to impress at the tournament, going out in the first round with England, and he finished his managerial stint after that. And he didn't want to do club football, and so he got into the administrative side of the game with the French Football Federation.
Very rare.
And later as in UEFA, and then president, which he currently is.
Got the big job. Winner. Yeah, got the big job.
And I mean, there's a little bit of controversy around him, isn't there, as the president of UEFA.
Well, yeah, with the greatest respect, you're always going to get that because you're the head of UEFA, and you know,
can't please everyone all the time, can you?
You judge people by the company they keep, and he's forced to keep Sepp Blatter as a friend. Yeah.
He's done some stuff like the old 6-5 sort of homegrown rule, which
is and also,
right.
I mean, the financial fair play rules are largely down to him. You know, he's quite altruistic in a lot of senses.
Or you could look at that and say he hates the Premier League, which I think he does.
Yeah, he says he doesn't, but he's hardly going to come out and say that. Yeah, I mean, you know, we shall see what his if there's be a legacy left with his reign, or if indeed he goes on to bigger and
FIFA president.
But like I say, we're focusing on his playing career, which is glittering. Yeah. It really is. I mean, what an influential player he was. And I mean, I said one of the best players in Europe, possibly one of the greats.
Well, he won Ballon d'Or three times in a row. Yeah. It's no bad thing.
I think only Messi's done that, since something like that. And a quintessential number 10 who just had it all as a player, very cultured and all the rest of it. He was against the 39th game.
Oh yeah, he was.
Premier League, so not all bad if you're not too sure. He was once asked if he considered himself the best player in the world, and he replied, "It's not that I regarded myself as the best player in the world. I was the best player in the world." And he's coming into the team winner, that's all the fun.
Oh, and don't forget, the Dean Winner's Hall of Fame at the moment is in association with kitbag.com. If you follow our Twitter feed and follow the instructions on there, you'll get a chance to win a £50 voucher towards some football shirts. So go for it. Kitbag.com and at kitbaguk on Twitter.
Maybe buy yourself some socks and then roll them down.
Yeah, just like Michelle.
That's it for this week, ladies and gentlemen. If you'd like to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com and the website is thefootballramble.com.
Yes, it is. And this week, Alex Hess looks at the players from the Premier League's relegated trio that he rates as good enough to secure moves back up there. Gary L. Smith looks at the Premier League's African team of the season. And Vincent Forrester takes a look at the Celtic Nation's bid for Euro 2020. Elsewhere, there's the forum, the Hall of Fame, the shop, and the opportunity to win a dinner date with me, which you have to pay for.
You've really become desperate, haven't you?
Yeah. That's just dinner, Jim. Yeah. That's your dinner.
Yeah. We've all made different life choices and I've had to live with them, so
yes.
I think I'll just take this opportunity to let the listeners know about our schedule for the Euros.
Damn right.
We're going to be released as usual next week, 30th of May, Wednesday. After that, the next shows are going to be Thursday the 7th of June.
Ooh.
Which will be our Euros preview.
Yes.
Monday the 11th of June, And then we're off to Kiev.
Ooh.
For the 14th, 16th and 18th. That's the Thursday and the Saturday and the Monday. We'll be doing shows from Kiev. And lots of different cool things on the website as well. Then the Thursday, 21st of June, Monday, 25th of June, Saturday, the 30th of June, and then we'll round up the tournament on Monday, the 2nd of July. So keep an eye on the Twitter, the Facebook, the website, and keep an eye on your iTunes pipe as well.
Thank you for that, Luke. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. We'll see you next time.
You wanted...
I want a bed.
Why?
Because we can't afford
it. Yeah, but you should.
We're better than Chelsea, we're better than Newcastle, we're better than Arsenal, we're better than Man United and shit. We're better than Swansea, Bale was worth more than their whole team. Fucking Carrot shit, Modric better than
Blue will always be our blood and our heart. Thank you very much. Thank you for everything.
League.
League. This is my Jim League. Let me do my Eric Cantona impression.
I don't know how this conversation happened, and it will never happen again. What do you want, a biscuit? I had one, but you put your penis on it.
That'll happen again.
All true, of course.
That will happen again.
All true.
Best in
true.
Fact.
I can't explain what I'm feeling. I want the world to know I'm in a daze.
Sometimes I get a good feeling.
Marcus.
Inappropriate.
The hearts. True.
Oh, I opened up my laptop, right, and I'd been playing with their Keynote. I don't know if you're familiar, Apple's version of PowerPoint. And I'd written, right, in big letters, right. I'd been dicking around with it because Laura needed it for a presentation. And I'd written in big letters, "But fuck Tuesdays," the Pete Donaldson story. Flipped it open on the tube in front of a lot of kids. I'm going to prison
again.
But fuck Tuesdays.
Did you look at them all?
It's tank
it. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com slash sportsadfree. That's amazon.com slash sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.